As is my custom, I wish a blessed Father's Day to the men who received this greeting. And I am praying that all fathers, whether by blood, through adoption, or spiritual bonds, will continue to rejoice in the blessings of Almighty God. I am also praying for those who are grieving after suffering the death of a father or a child. I pray that your remembrance of the blessings that you have received from them will be a source of consolation for you this day. I pray for those who are longing to have a child, and I also pray that those fathers and children who are estranged from one another will be reconciled. May the peace of Christ be with our fathers today and always. Amen. So at the end of the prayer of the faithful, I will offer the official prayer of the church from the Book of Blessings upon our fathers today. Now, which is also my custom, Mother's Day and Father's Day, while wonderful holidays are secular holidays, we are worshiping the Lord on the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time with the Universal Church. Ordinary Time just comes from a word which means numbering. Doesn't mean we're just in an ordinary period now. We're just counting numbers. That's what it means. And we're going to look at the gospel reading today. And we say in the creed, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Now, it's important for us to profess our faith after we hear the word of the Lord, to remind ourselves of who God is and who we are in relationship to God. Creeds developed because some people in the church had strange ideas about God, particularly Jesus Christ, and strange ideas about what the church is. And so the church said we need to put in writing who we are, who God is. Because if you do not know who God is and who you are in relationship with God, you're going to lose your way in life. And so since the 4th century, the church has proclaimed the Nicene Creed. And the church has felt it important to say these words over and over and over again so that we know who we are in Christ. That aspect of the creed, describing the church that Jesus founded as one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic, describes the essential characteristics of the church that Jesus founded. And the gospel reading today invites us to reflect on what does it mean that the church is apostolic? How does this characteristic apply to us who are members of the church, disciples of Christ? For in the gospel reading, Jesus sees a great crowd before him, and they were abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. They had lost their way, but they found in Christ a way that they wanted to follow. There were those who were already disciples, already those who had made a commitment to follow Jesus, to listen to his teaching, to put his example into practice. There were those who were considering becoming disciples of the Lord. There were those who maybe are just curious. They had heard about the teachings of Jesus. They heard about the miracles, and they just wanted to know a little bit more. There were some people who were contentious. If you look at the chapters before this gospel reading, there were even some people who said that Jesus was the devil. They said he expels demons by the prince of demons. And they would also contend about different aspects of his teaching. Everybody wasn't there in love with Jesus. And yet Jesus looked at everyone, knowing that everyone can change and be reconciled to God. And he looks at them with compassion. And he wants to put into place a system that will help people to know their way through life. First of all, it begins with him. He is the good shepherd of the sheep. By his teaching and example, he teaches us how to live authentically. I can't say all the teachings from this ambo. Some of you get nervous when I preach 20 minutes. I can't preach days and days and days about it. And that is why we need to make sure that we make a priority to read the gospel reading for ourselves and pray about how we fit into that gospel reading. I can give you pointers for consideration, but I can't read the whole Bible for you. And so Jesus says, I need to appoint people to be my representatives in the world. I need people who can show others this is what a Christian looks like. This is what it looks like when we try to make sure that the teachings of Christ influence how we think, how we speak, and how we act. And Jesus is well aware of all of the strengths we have in our lives. He's well aware of all the weaknesses we have in our lives. But he wants to build upon our strengths, and he wants to help us to overcome our weaknesses. So when we think about becoming someone who demonstrates what a Christian looks like, we cannot excuse ourselves from this invitation from the Lord, and we cannot make excuses about why we can't do it. The Lord has equipped us to be able to do it. He dwells within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether you feel him there or not, he is there, and he wants to be there for us and invite us to cooperate with him and to believe in the truth of what he says we can do. Because to be apostolic means to be sent out. That's the original term for apostolic in the Greek, to be sent out. And of course, we're not going to feel worthy to demonstrate this is what a Christian looks like. No one's worthy. The 12 who were chosen as apostles weren't worthy. The other disciples were not worthy. But they trusted in Christ who trusted in them. And so we need to do the same thing. What does it mean to be a representative of Christ in every part of our lives? Because we can look at the call of the apostles and we can say rightly that to be apostolic, first of all, means that Jesus had appointed 12 apostles to serve as the pastoral leaders of the church, who would be responsible for ensuring that the church would remain faithful to the authentic teachings of the Lord, and that this was also entrusted to their successors, the bishops of the church. That is one reason why we are apostolic. But we're also apostolic that because of our baptism, every person is called to be a participant in the apostolic mission of the church to advance the gospel and to show people what it looks like when we allow the kingdom of heaven to be among us. And so, to serve the needs of humanity, Jesus appoints these apostles, but he also appoints all of us. And you see, even among the 12 men, they came from different backgrounds. They came from different regions. And Jesus calls men and women in our common baptismal vocation from different backgrounds to participate in this mission according to our distinctive vocation. What are aspects of participating in the apostolic mission of the church? Well, first of all, we need to understand the Lord has summoned us to do it. The Lord has called us to do it. You look in the gospel reading and it says that the Lord had summoned 12 to be his apostles. The Lord calls us, and we need to remember that. We don't deserve it, but we accept what God wants to do in our lives. That's why we're here today. That's why people are watching on the live stream today. We want to be open to what God calls us to be in our lives, to show others what it means to be someone who is striving to live according to the teachings of Christ. And it's not due to any merit on our own, but the power of Christ working within us and our cooperating with Christ, with his comforting and challenging teachings. And so Jesus summons people of different backgrounds. And what does he do next? He sends them out. You see that in the next part. of the gospel reading. He sends them out to serve the needs of humanity. And what is that first need? First of all, to be reconciled with God. And that's not making a judgment upon people. As St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but all have the capacity to receive God's grace, to be forgiven of their sins, and to live as children of God. And it's from the perspective that we are undergoing conversion that we call others to conversion. Jesus said, the first thing you're going to do is to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we do that, first of all, by how we live. Now, it means we're going to be distinctive. If we're trying to live as a Christian, we're going to look different at school. We're going to look different at work. We're going to look different in the neighborhood. We're going to treat people in the stores differently. That's how it works. And we're doing it to glorify God, not to receive the praise of human beings. And there's the distinct possibility that we may receive the contempt of human beings, just like Jesus received it. And he promised we would. But that does not shake who we are and what we are about. It's important to say, I'm a Christian and this is how I'm going to approach things. I'm not going to exploit people by how I talk about them or how I treat them. I'm going to enhance the lives of others by how I treat them with respect in my interactions with them. And when people see a difference, some will be contemptuous, but because they're jealous, because you hold fast to a principle of living and you're not going to be cowed into shaking it off when people want to intimidate you. And then others will be curious and say, what makes you tick? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what makes me tick. God rules and reigns over my life. God loves me beyond imagining. God has provided the forgiveness of my sins. He's given me a framework for living that I can apply to every aspect of my life, how I relate to people, how I use my gifts and talents. It's not all about me, it's all about God. I wouldn't be who I am without God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do our lives demonstrate that in our family life and in every aspect of our lives? Jesus sends us out to invite people to be reconciled to God. Jesus also sends us out to help people to be healed. And that shows us that Jesus' mission is not, you know, just spiritual, just applied to the soul. Body and soul were created in the image and likeness of God, and it is an extension of the gospel message that we not only have built churches and have fostered parish communities, but also healthcare institutions, social service institutions, educational institutions. And when we talk about those institutions having a strong Catholic identity, we're just saying that these institutions would not exist if it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we divorce ourselves from that, we are losing our way. And if we lose our way, then we're no good for humanity. Because Jesus sent his people out to help people to find their way in life. He looked at the crowd with compassion. He saw that they were losing their way, and he says, I want to help them, first of all, through my ministry, and then by sending people out to represent me. And so, again, we need to be faithful and know that being a Christian is not just, you know, we're just so spiritual, but it does deal with the concrete human needs here and now. And then Jesus sent them out to expel demons. And yes, evil is real. And not only do we want to pray for persons to be delivered from evil, but we want to pray that our communities are delivered from evil. The Christian life is not just, we're just so spiritual and we're just concerned about church life. Part of church life is then to go out into our communities and to make sure that our communities are impacted for good. That's why we engage in works of mercy, for instance. But not only do we need to say, yes, there's poverty and we need to help people out, But we also need to participate in the public square and to say, how can we help people out of poverty? Jesus says that his mission is comprehensive and it impacts the world. It does not just save us for heaven and we could just forget about the world, but we are in the world to make sure that what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but it's done by the simple putting Jesus' teachings into practice, whether it's popular or unpopular. And to trust that if you lose people in your life, connections, because they don't understand why you want to live according to the teachings of Christ, to trust that Christ is going to raise up more people to be with you, who are concerned about you, not only within time, but for eternity. The Lord trusts us to be able to do it. I'm sure that we have thought about, after listening to different news items, God, why would you permit this evil to happen? And God, who knows that he created us with free will, but he also knows that he has raised up a people in the world to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to live according to it, to invite people to do the same. God turns back to us and say, yes, why do you allow it to happen? Evil is not afraid to propagate its bad consequences in the world. We need to be proactive in doing what's right. And that's done step by step. And it's done without asking for instant results. But to know that God is at work for our good, and that good is going to be produced in his time and in his way, we're called just to be faithful to what we're called to do and trust that God is always faithful. Those 12 went out because they trusted Jesus. And because they knew that Jesus trusted them with all their strengths and weaknesses. The church of the 21st century is not going to advance the work of the Lord if we waste our time making excuses of why we should not engage in doing our part to be a witness to the fact, this is what a Christian is supposed to look like. And no, I'm not perfect, but as I continue to cooperate with God's love and mercy and grace, I'm being perfected, because that's part of what it means to be a Christian. We're not perfect now, but we're in the process of being perfected, and we're not going to give up, even if we've messed up. For God will clean us up and help us to move forward in life. And the same God who does that in my life can do that in your life. That's the witness that we provide for the world. So as we hear at the end of Holy Mass, go in peace, glorifying the Lord with your life, God has given us a responsibility and an opportunity to show people what it means to live authentic human lives. Jesus wants us to say, by the way that we live, and then to articulate why we live it, this is what it means to be a follower of Christ within his church, and you can do the same. Jesus trusts us. It's going to happen in our lives if we trust in the one who trusts us. And now let us profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in